I'll be reading from Matthew 18, 3 through 4. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you can never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
Good morning. Glad to have you here this morning. If you're visiting with us this morning, we're especially glad to have you here. I hope you will be blessed by what you experienced today in worship and maybe come to visit with us again. We have a lot going on. It seems like we've been saying that a lot lately, but man, it's a busy time here at the Eugene Church. I had somebody ask me what a normal week is like in my new job, and I told them I'd let them know as soon as I had a normal week, because it's been up and down and all over the place. But first of all, I want to remind you that we're in the midst of our month of prayer. I believe we're on day 14, and today we are praying for orphans. We have been keeping up with this on Facebook, doing an almost as good a job of it keeping up on our webpage, but if you will try to follow along with us, that would be great. I also wanted to remind you, a couple folks have asked me this week, if you're not a Facebook person but you do have internet, you can still see our Facebook page. You don't have to sign up for Facebook and waste all the time the rest of us do. You can still see it. There's a link there on the front page of our website, and you can keep up with what we're praying for each day. Which also brings us to, this is Orphan Sunday. And if you have not noticed, there's a table right in the center back there with pictures of various kids that are being sponsored here by members of this church. And I looked back there before we started, and I counted a little more than 25 pictures of kids that are being sponsored by members of this church. And I just think that's pretty amazing, to think that there are 25 children in this world whose lives are better because of the people who are sitting in here today. And that's just the ones who remembered to bring pictures. And I will guarantee that there are some of you that did not remember to bring pictures. So I'm going to guess there's probably 30, 35, 40 kids, something like that, that are benefited by the work of the people here. I also read that you can sponsor a kid for $35 a month or $420 annually. So that means there's a little more than $10,000 a year represented on that table of people giving. It also struck me as I looked at $35 a month on those little forms back there. And I am not one who likes to use guilt as a motivator, but if you want to think for just a minute with me, I enjoyed a lot of college football at my house yesterday due to the fine folks at Xfinity, Comcast, who I pay roughly $92 a month to. I pay that for internet so I can look at our church Facebook page, and I pay that so I can watch football and all kinds of other entertainment, and I thought to myself, that's almost three pictures on that table back there. So if this is something that you think to yourself, I don't know if we have the money to do that, $35 a month is an awful lot. If you stop and think about what we kill $35 a month on, and a whole lot more than that, it will blow your mind. And so I'd encourage you, if you've not thought about that before, if it's not $35 a month, I'm sure that they will gladly take whatever you're able to per month to help out with kids around the world. And if it's not through Christian Relief Fund, there's other organizations out there too. There might be one you know better. But I hope you will consider that there are a lot of orphans out there that can use our help. And as we focus on this Sunday, I hope you'll stop and look at the table and be encouraged by that. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Now, I don't want to throw one of my boys up here to read something every single Sunday and tire you of that, but I thought if we're talking about children today, it would seem kind of a shame to not have one up here to read for us. So we'll start in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And when we see at that time, let's think a little bit about the context of what's going on. We've just had the transfiguration, and we're a little out of order in our life of Jesus because we're talking about children today. But the transfiguration has just occurred, and if you remember that story, we also read it in our readings in Mark within the last couple weeks. Peter, James, and John go up with Jesus to this mountain, and he's transfigured there. His face shines as bright as the sun. Moses and Elijah come, and they're seen with him. But if you'll stop and think for a minute, it's just Peter, James, and John that get to go up and see this. There's 9 other disciples somewhere that are not a part of this experience. And so when they ask who is the greatest, I wonder if they've begun to see a little bit of a hierarchy within their number. It seems like there are these 3 that get taken some places there with Jesus that everyone else doesn't get to go. And so maybe this is a natural question that comes up. Maybe because of their seeing something different in how roles are being filled out, there's a natural question that comes around that says, who is the greatest? Now, at the same time, I think to myself, we're now in Matthew chapter 18, so they've experienced the first 17 chapters or so of what Jesus has been talking about, and it seems very strange to me that this would be a question you would ask if you knew who Jesus was at this point, because who is the greatest doesn't seem like a very important thing to him. Now, it is to us too many times, and we like recognition and we like to be noticed, but to Jesus, who is the greatest doesn't seem like a very important question. And at the same time, is that not one of those questions that even when we're small, we start to really take notice of? Who is the most important? Who is the greatest? Who is your friend and who is your best friend? And who is your very best friend? And the way we'll see kids have arguments about things like that. But think for a minute, who is the greatest? My wife in one of her college classes, if I remember this right, she asks questions like, she'll put them in small groups, and she'll ask a question like, what is the greatest band ever? Or what is the greatest song ever? Or who is the best world leader ever? And it's very funny as they start to have those conversations, the way different groups will think. It's amazing how many times in who is the greatest world leader ever, you will hear someone from the last 15 years or so, because it's college students, and that's kind of where their frame of reference is. Or how many times the greatest song is so hard to decide because we all like different kinds of music and we all hate different kinds of music. But as the disciples ask this question of who is the greatest, think about the scope of it for a minute. How many people will there be in heaven? And how do we decide who is the greatest? So they ask him, who is the greatest? And he says to them, he called a little child to him, and he placed the child among them, and he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless you become like children. Now, the answer that they're getting is not necessarily the one to the question they're asking. Unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, this whole question of who is the greatest doesn't seem quite as important anymore if you're not even going to be there. And so immediately I want to know, if I'm a disciple standing here nearby, what does it mean to change and become like little children? And I would imagine we've thought of this in lots of different ways along the way. There are things about little children that we would really be benefited, I think, by emulating. And there are other things about little children you kind of wish we would grow out of. Or maybe you kind of wish your kids would grow out of, and it seems like they never do. This question of who is the greatest at the very beginning seems like kind of a childish question, doesn't it? That we're concerned about who's going to be the greatest? Well, shouldn't we just be really excited about being in heaven and not really care about who is the greatest? And Jesus says to become like children. Now, there are a few things that we need to know about children in Jesus' day. If you think children are unnoticed and overlooked today, it's nothing compared to the way children were unnoticed and overlooked in the day of Jesus. People just didn't see kids in a group of people. They saw the adults and there were these little people nearby, but nobody paid much attention to them. And I think we probably see that sometimes in our world today. We are excited in our house because on Tuesday, if all goes well, a furniture truck is coming. We have, since we arrived here in the middle of August, been sitting in camp chairs in our living room and at Leland and Beth's card table in our dining room. And I have learned a little bit about what it is like to be the children, because with holidays rolling around, we know what the card table means, don't we? The card table is where you put all those kids that don't have a space at the other table. One, because you don't want to hear all the crazy conversations. Two, because there's just not room. Three, because the grown-ups don't want to sit in the folding chairs. For whatever reason, we put them over there at the card table, and they do their thing, and we do our thing. And when we think of becoming like children, I was never excited about sitting at the card table when I was a kid. It's not a place I wanted to be. I wanted to be at the big table with the grown-ups and see what was going on over there. Although when I finally made that move, I found out how dull and boring it was and how those conversations just were not all that exciting to begin with, and I wished I could just go back to the card table. But we want to be bigger than we are, don't we? Don't we want to grow beyond where our place is? Don't we want to be seen as more important? Even as little kids, we think that's the way that things need to go. And then somewhere along the time, we realize that they don't actually encourage us to take a nap anymore. And that sounds pretty good. They don't encourage recess in the midst of the day anymore, and that sounds really good. There's so many things about being kids that we have lost behind. And Jesus says, unless you become like children. And I don't know what that is to you. We may think of the fun things of childhood. We may think of the innocence of childhood. I have a child now in junior high, middle school here, I guess. Every now and then, he will ask me a question about a word that I wish he did not hear what that word was, and I miss the innocent days of childhood. Sometimes I wish they wouldn't grow up as quick as they grow up. And so Jesus says, become like children. I think there's an innocence about this. I think there is a willingness to just accept that we see in childhood that we don't see as much in adulthood. We saw a video online this last week of a guy that's probably, I don't know, 2.5, 3 years old. He was in my wife's toddler class when we were back in Arkansas. And he was sitting in his car seat, in his parents' car, and he was singing, "My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do." And he was doing all the hand motions right there in the car with it. And I thought to myself, I need a dose of that every now and then. I need to remember that my God is so big and strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do, when it seems like God is somewhere else. When it seems like the thing that I'm running into, the thing that I'm about to have to try to overcome, seems far too big for me, I need to remember what it is like to be a child. And so he says to them to become like children. Then he says in verse 4, "Therefore, for whoever humbles himself like this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." Whoever humbles himself. I don't like being humbled. I'm humbled a lot. And I have moments where I feel like I'm kind of a big deal and then realize very quickly I'm not. Children don't have to remember to be humbled, do they? At least not when they're very small. They kind of get it. They don't always think too highly of themselves. They're not spending a lot of time worrying about what everybody else thinks of them. They are truly, in a way that a lot of us have a really hard time getting back to, humble. And Jesus is one that understands this completely, because when he says, whoever humbles himself, this is the exact phrase that he will use over in Philippians chapter 2, that Paul will use when he writes about Jesus, when it says he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus knows what it is to be humble. And who needs to know more what it is to be humble than people who have just asked, who will be the greatest? That's what we're after, isn't it? Who will be the greatest? We were talking Wednesday night in class about parenting, and I mentioned something in there that they did this poll of Japanese parents and of American parents. And the poll was this: what is the one thing you wish most for your children? And the American parents answered success, or I'm sorry, answered happiness. I gave it away. The Japanese parents answered success. It's a different way of thinking between parents in these different cultures. For us, what do we wish for? What is it we're looking for? And I think we see a little bit of the American that we know here in these disciples when they're looking for who's going to be the greatest. And the children instead are humble, Jesus tells us here. Then if we flip over to Matthew chapter 19, Matthew chapter 19, beginning with verse 13. Then the people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. Okay, and remember, we're coming off of Matthew 18 with this entire example of if you become like children, that you'll be in the kingdom of heaven. If you don't become like children, that's not necessarily a place for you. And so Jesus uses children as his example. It should be fresh in everybody's mind. And as they bring these little children, then of course the disciples are going to welcome them and get ready for the next new lesson they can hear about what it is to be children. No. But the disciples rebuke them. And I don't think the children, I think the people who are bringing the kids, because Jesus doesn't have time for these kids. He's here to teach. He's here to do something amazing. He's here to perform miracles. He's got a limited time, and he's got things he's got to do and places he's got to be. And yet, Jesus wants to take time for the children, and the disciples just don't see it, even though they've just been encouraged to be like these children. Now, leaving the spiritual side of this aside for a minute, I think there's something we can learn here very much in how Jesus sees children. Jesus wants to embrace these children. Jesus wants to take the time for these children, and I think we can all learn an awful lot from that. How often do we take the time? How often do we stop and listen? How often do we share in the excitement? How often do we share in the fear, the joy, the pain, whatever it is of children around us? And instead, how often do we just not have time for that? Something we got to finish, someplace we've got to be, something we've got to do, a call we've got to take. And the disciples are in that kind of mode too. And so when these kids come along, that's not what we're here for. And even thinking beyond children for a minute, how many times do we miss the thing that it is that we're supposed to see because that's not what we're here for right now? That's not on the schedule, that's not on the calendar, that I've got an appointment to get to. And instead of being rebuked, Jesus has a different thing in mind. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. So if we have not thought much about what it is to be childlike, we should start thinking of that pretty quickly. Because if the kingdom belongs to these, that's who we want to be. When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. So what is it to be children? First of all, we see in Jesus, do not hinder them. These are people that he wants to get to him. And I think we see people that are childlike around us each day, whether it is actual children or people who have just not matured to the level that people need to mature. And whether that's in life or whether that's in spiritual things. We see people around us that still make the same mistakes they've been making their whole lives and have not matured along in that way. Sometimes we are those people. We see people around us whose maturity when it comes to how they see God has not changed. And Jesus says, do not hinder them, let them come to me. We need to have humility like children. And we've talked about that a little bit already, but I wish we would really think more about the humility of a child. Are we high on ourselves? Do we think we have all the answers all the time? Or are we willing to learn too? How many times do we go into a conversation already developing the counterpoint in our mind and not really listening to the person on the other side of it? Can we have the humility to step back and listen? And then also the faith like a child. Our youngest child, when he was smaller, he would pray each night. And one of the things he would pray almost every night was, thank you that today was a good day, and thank you that tomorrow will be a good day. It was just his assumption. It was going to be good day after good day after good day because that's what God does. And some of the next days were not good days in the way I would define them. And yet he saw something different about God. That little guy in the car seat, my God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. How much more do we question God today? How much more do we have a struggle in faith today and not just accept him for who he is and what he does? When Jesus says to be like a child, there's an innocence, there's a humility, there's a faith that is like a child. He wants us to become like children. And that seems far, far away a lot of times, doesn't it? It seems far away. But Jesus says, no, this is who you need to be in the kingdom of heaven, to become like children. So what is that for you today? What are you worried about today that a child would never worry about? And I think as people, we would look at things like that and we would say, well, they don't understand. They don't understand how difficult life is, how tough the world is. It's just, somebody takes me to preschool and I go, and I have fun there. It's just somebody takes me to the zoo and I look at animals, and that's great. It's just my mom loves me, my dad loves me. And then I think of these kids on the table back there. How different a childlike existence that is, and yet that they could write a letter to Hans. Just thankfulness for what has come their way from somebody they've never met. Can we have that kind of outlook on the world as children? And if we did, how much better would our world be? If we could see the world as children, if we could lose the cynicism that we have, if we could lose the negativity that we have, and if instead we could look at each day with wonder and excitement. When God does something amazing and we're not shocked by that. Remember how big your parents seemed long ago? Remember when they would do something and it just seemed like magic almost? And now you know better? I remember when the first time I came to Oregon, we worked with the Inner City Church up in Portland. And we had a daily program going on. And one of the things I did was I made balloon animals for them. I learned from a clown in Iowa how to make balloon animals. And I made balloon animals, and they were all excited about it. And so balloon animals wasn't quite enough for a magic show. So one of the other great tricks I did was to take my finger and to pull that part off. Pretty exciting. And I remember 4- and 5-year-olds who were sitting right here whose jaws dropped. And as they watched me take my thumb and take my finger off for a minute and go back on, they had no idea how in the world that worked. But it was the best thing ever. And they were split up into 2 or 3 groups, and as the first group left and the other group was coming in, I watched 2 little 4-year-old kids grab their friend and point at me and say, that guy can take his finger off and put it back on. And I thought to myself, I had no idea how well this would go. It's the only magic trick I could figure out. To see the world with that kind of wonder and amazement again. To see the world in the way that I drove from my apartment to here the other day, and I had my phone in my hand but was not talking on it, so I assume that's legal. I had my phone in my hand on the camera function, and I had it up on the dashboard as I was driving because I thought, these trees are too pretty right now to not remember this. And so I started just clicking pictures as I was driving. I don't know if I got pulled over for that or not. But I thought, I pass this every day, and I probably passed it 5 or 6 days before I noticed it. Because I'm too busy. Too busy with everything else going on in my mind, too busy with everything else around me. And I thought, I need to see the world with the wonder of a child again. I need to be amazed. I need to be excited. That same 3-year-old who was sitting in that car seat singing, "My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty," his dad is one of the assistant basketball coaches at Harding. I saw another picture of him watching the first basketball scrimmage and just wonder in his eyes and excitement. And I thought, somewhere between here and age 25, he will start to scream at referees. I don't know when that change happens, but somewhere along the way, it will be that guy's blind and doesn't know what he's doing and all that. Where do we lose the wonder of the child? And we lose it in all aspects of life. And as Jesus looks at his disciples here in Matthew 18, he sees that in their eyes. that these are not even the guys who were excited on day one when he picked them up to become fishers of men. The cares of the world were coming in on them. The confusion, the misunderstanding was coming in on them, like it will on us tomorrow and the next day and the day after that. And Jesus says to each of us, become like children. Become like children. Realize that tomorrow is a gift in ways that these guys on the table and girls on the table can understand that we will never completely get our heads around. Realize that God is still operating and working in our world today. Realize that when we see those colors driving down the road and keep both hands on the wheel, that that is a gift from God today that he has given us. Unless we become like children, the kingdom of heaven will not be ours. So this week I want you to think about that. I want you to notice children around you this week because they're there somewhere and they are seeing life in a way that you don't see it. I want you to realize when you walk into Walmart and some five-year-old has taken a ball out of that bin of balls and is bouncing it all around the aisle, about to knock something over, that he is living life. Should his parents stop him? Probably. But man, he's living life right now. And you would never think of doing that because we're too old for that. It's not what we do anymore. When you see those kids who just are looking at the world around them, when you see those kids who, like mine, when we had a robin's nest outside our window, would see the eggs in that nest and get excited because that's life right there. I'd walk by that nest day after day and not notice there were eggs in it. I don't have time for that. Become like children this week. If you need to be more childlike in your humility, in your faith, in who you are, so do the rest of us. And if you would like to become a child again by being born again in baptism this morning, by starting a new life, then that is the greatest opportunity I can imagine for you. Whatever your needs are this morning, if there's some way we can help you, if there's some way we can pray for you, we ask that you will come as we stand and sing.